You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Marquand Cain knows poverty. He's seen what gun violence, what drugs have done to people he loves. And this teenager's response is to work for social reform and challenge other young people to join him in a new civil rights movement. Marquand Cain has been named Washtenaw County's 2018 Young Citizen of the Year to recognize his work in criminal justice reform. And Governor Snyder appointed him to Michigan's Committee on Juvenile Justice, and he is with us now. Marquand, congratulations on your honor and also your recent graduation from Ann Arbor Pioneer High School.
Thank you very much.
It's been a busy few months for you. So what inspired you to begin using your voice and your energy to bring attention to issues like the school-to-prison pipeline or gun violence or domestic violence, or you're pushing to have 18-year-olds in the criminal justice system treated as juveniles rather than adults? What fired up your activism?
I got started because I was looking for purpose. During my junior year, I had lost one of my close friends, Jordan Klee, as well as my cousin in gun violence. In the same year, I had so many conflicts going on at home. You know, really, there was so much trauma going around, and it just became a generational cycle. You know, there was an incident during my junior year where, you know, outside in my neighborhood, they were shooting. And I actually had to run out there and grab a young child who was in the middle of the crossfire. You know, having to go to sleep at night listening to gunshots and, you know, with your family in that situation. You know, it hurts when it's not just you. It hurts when it's your loved ones who are caught up in the chaos of it. And so I got started because, you know, I got in this really deep, dark state of depression. You know, many of those who are close to me were struggling with suicidal thoughts, and I was battling with my own demons. And so with all the suffering that was going on, you know, plus the rise of Trump and the political chaos and everything associated with him, you know, I was wondering, can I find meaning in all of this? Can I make a difference? And I decided that I was going to.
And as far as domestic violence and the effects of poverty, you've seen that in your life and with people you love as well.
Yes, yes. You know, as a young child, you know, I have so many memories of us having to flee, you know, from my brother's father, you know, having to be in and out of safe houses, staying with friends, you know, sleeping on couches, just, you know, on the run all the time and always in a constant state of fear and vigilancy. You know, every time I'd be around this man, you know, I would start to shake and just tremble. And this is the fear that my family lived with on a daily basis, you know, for years and years and years.
So you have taken a lot of pain and you have poured it into something positive. What would you say your mission is? How do you describe it?
You know, when I got started in my advocacy, I said that I wanted to get involved to find a common humanity, you know, were my exact words. Now, I had no idea what that meant. You know, I was just saying something because I wanted to get involved. You know, but as I started to learn more history, as I started to connect with those in the community, I think it's the same goal, to achieve a common humanity, a common bond, you know, in this state of political chaos, to bring us closer together as to farther apart, you know, because in this current time, we are more polarized, I believe, than ever.
And you're saying that at 18, and I can tell you there are people many times your age who would agree with you that we are a very divided, angry and polarized country right now. And one of the things you talk about is a new civil rights movement, and you're calling on other young people to join you. So why do we need a new civil rights movement?
And so if you Google the civil rights movement or you look at it in your textbook.
Or those of us who live through it.
Absolutely.
But yes.
You know, it'll tell
you're Googling it and you're reading about it.
Yeah, you know, it'll tell you it started in the 40s and ended in the 60s. But what exactly ended? They killed our leaders, they forced them to live through the country, or they incarcerated them. But they were effectively silenced. And so we need to pick up from that wave of leadership because not much has changed. I've, you know, seen an article from the Washington Post and it says, you know, 50 years later, no progress for African Americans on in the areas of housing, of employment, of incarceration. You know, you look at Dr. King and he didn't just challenge racism. He challenged, you know, poverty. He challenged the establishment. He called for a redistribution of wealth. And today we've seen even more wealth, you know, concentrated in fewer hands today. And so we need a new civil rights movement because, you know, racism and oppression have always been here. But we are currently seeing a wave of racial terrorism sweeping through our country, and it is attacking minorities of all colors, you know, different creeds, all of that.
And so what do you envision this new civil rights movement looking like here in Michigan? How do you see this working?
I see it as more society being much more conscientious. But I think that we need to consider more things civil rights. And here's my list. I think that every American and every human being ought to have access to quality and affordable food, shelter, water, housing, education. and also a guaranteed living wage, better yet, a dignity wage. And these are, I believe, our civil rights because our economy and the human body demand that we have these things in order to be productive members of society. You can't just write, you know, that every, you know, American citizen is guaranteed the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That shouldn't just be reserved to those who are privileged and the wealthiest among us.
So you are basically trying to be a catalyst for others to come join you and work in whatever ways possible to be able to bring this, the constitutional promise, to everybody. So when you think of, as you talk about being a student of history and given our current political climate, what did you learn from the civil rights movement, from what happened in the 40s and the 50s and 60s that has taught you about leadership and the role that young people can play in righting wrongs?
So I haven't traveled much and I haven't been anywhere near down south. But during our spring break trip, my friend Henry and I decided that we wanted to go down to Alabama to learn about the movement. I've talked, you know, a lot about racial justice and criminal justice reform, and I have my own experiences, you know, around those systems. But really, you know, we understood that in order to be, you know, much more effective, we'd have to go down there and actually see it, you know.
Like a pilgrimage.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we spent our time in between Selma, Birmingham, and Montgomery. And I learned, you know, and I finally was able to understand what Sean King was saying. And he was saying that it's hard to recognize a moment of history when you're living in it. But we are absolutely living in it. And I also learned that I see now that young people have to step up and guide the moral compass of this country, just as we did during the civil rights movement. Because, you know, our elders have failed us, essentially. They have put us in a state of political chaos.
You have recently graduated from high school. Where do you see yourself, let's say, in 10 or 15 years? What do you see yourself doing?
You know, I hope I'll be, you know, graduated from law school. But, you know, I'm taking a gap year right now. And that's to really figure out, do I want to work within the system or work outside of it? And what's the most effective way for me to go about making change in our society? So perhaps I may be in office. Maybe I'll be practicing law somewhere. I might be a teacher. But somewhere making a difference in a subtle way.
Marquan, before you go, there was an incident where you felt targeted because of the color of your skin. Can you tell us what happened?
You know, I was in my friend's neighborhood and I stepped outside to make a few phone calls, you know, in broad daylight.
What kind of neighborhood?
It was apartments, mm-hmm. But I was in the street. And so, you know, after a while I was on the phone, a man approached me, a white man, and he asked me, you know, what was my business there? I said, I'm visiting a friend, but I'm on the phone right now. And, you know, I'm trying to go back and forth on the phone and have a conversation with this man at the same time. And, you know, he's asking me, you know, which apartment, you know, my friend stays in. I ask him which apartment he stays in. And, you know, he didn't reveal that for the same reason I didn't tell him where my friend stayed, right? And so, you know, he said he was maintenance. But, you know, I've worked on a few projects with maintenance. So, you know, I figured this guy was just lying. Anyways, you know, he says he's calling the cops on me. And I said, call him. You know, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm visiting a friend. And so I went inside and, you know, sent my friend out there to go and check for me. And he says that this man is waiting out there with a knife and some rope. Now, when he approached me, he didn't have any one of those things on him. But he had him, and he got him from his truck when I had left. Now, I wasn't outside, you know, when this happened, but I want to know what he was planning on doing with that. That happened here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, because he called the police because he knew, you know, the psychological toll and effect that it would have on a young black man like myself.
Did the police come?
The police did come. And, you know, they told the man to leave, and they told me, you know, that I was not in any wrong and that I had every reason to be there. But nothing was done, and this man is still out there. And so, you know, why am I involved? I'm involved because I'm dealing with these systems of oppression on a daily basis. And I want people to wake up and realize and understand the pain that others feel. There's way too much conformity. There's way too much complicity and way too much apathy, just downright apathy of people who are not paying attention to what is happening. There's so much, you know, chaos going on the news each and every day, and I understand that. But I don't even believe that we've hit rock bottom as a nation yet. I don't think that we have. And so I'm concerned with what is coming. I believe rebellion is coming because people are fed up and people are tired of what is happening. And history shows us that those in power can only commit abuse and brutality, you know, to those who are marginalized and oppressed until they rise up and understand that they and feel that they have nothing to lose. And our bodies are on assault out there every single day. There's tons of, you know, pain and trauma that people are dealing with every single day, and people are getting desperate. And so we need to come together, you know, to prevent something bad from happening.
Marquan Cain, what is your challenge to everybody listening of all ages who are hearing you talk now? What is your challenge to people?
And it starts with people achieving a common humanity, at least coming to the table to have a discussion, to have a conversation. Education is the basis for all of it. This isn't about left or right. This isn't about partisan politics. This is about justice. And we need to come together for justice, economic justice, racial justice, criminal justice, environmental justice, and restorative justice.
Marquand Cain, Washtenaw County's 2018 Young Citizen of the Year. Thank you so much for sharing your work and your passion with us.
Thank you very much for having me.